Welcome. I would like to start the next talk. So I will be talking about the question which I think is quite important. So this is about what makes a web service free as in freedom. So we are talking a lot about free software on the desktop, obviously, and there we have more or less solved the problem of freedom. But with web services, that's a different question. So I want to talk about that. My name is Cornelius Schumacher. I do free software since 1999. I've done a lot of work in KDE. I've done a lot of work in OpenSUSE, in many other open source projects. At the moment, I'm working for my job at Cloud Foundry. So that's a lot of free software I've done. And I'm always concerned about, how does this extend? How can we not give up our freedom we have achieved on the desktop? So it's a little bit special talking here, and I do want to take the opportunity to show a KDE logo. Sorry for that, but I really like KDE, and this brought me to free software, and it also brought me to the general community. And I have a lot of friends in the GNOME community. I've worked with a lot of people in the GNOME community, and I think so. Let's put up the GNOME logo as well. It's important. And I think we do have achieved a lot. I mean, like Bradley said, I mean, we have more or less won. I mean, there's no reason to not use free software on the desktop. I mean, it works perfectly. It's just done. I mean, not done because there's always something to improve, but the question is not, is free software ready to be used on the desktop? I mean, we are there. And you have all the freedoms you can have there, and that's great. And to remind you of the freedoms, I mean, you all know that, the free software definition. We have the freedom to use it for any purpose. We have the freedom to study it, to look into it. We have the source code available, so we can actually make modifications. We can redistribute copies, so we can give it to other people. And we can even give our modifications to other people. So that's a lot of freedom, which is guaranteed by the free software definition, which works through the licenses like the GPL and all the other licenses which are there. And this gives us a lot of control. It's about control about your computing. I mean, you're in control of what you're doing with your computer. You have the freedom to choose what you do there. And you also have the freedom to actually help others with that. So that's the other aspect, which especially with the GPL, with the copyleft, you enforce that if you give something to somebody else, then these persons are also able and actually are obliged to give their modifications to others as well. So that really works nicely on the desktop. I think we are pretty much free. We are in control of what is happening. But then there is this struggle. There are all these nice services like GitHub, like Facebook, like Twitter, like Dropbox, like Google. And we all use them to some degree, and they are great. They are convenient. They provide a lot of functionality. But the question is, do we still have the same freedom we have on the desktop when we are using these services? And that's actually a tricky question to answer, because our usual way of answering this question doesn't really apply anymore, and it doesn't work well. And we are struggling with that a lot. And I know that we have a lot of discussions in the KDE community as well as in the GNOME community, for example, about GitHub. People just use it because they don't think of it. They use it because it's convenient, it provides all the feature, there's all free software on it, millions of free software projects. Your code is hosted there. They actually run almost exclusively free software. They have some parts which are not free. And the whole service, is it free enough or not? That's a question which different people in our community also answer differently. So I want to go through this line of thinking and talk a bit more about how can we actually make sure that the freedom we have gained on the desktop, we don't give up by just using web services we have no control about anymore. So what is a web service actually? So I want to go with a very simple definition for the purpose of this presentation. It's using software run by somebody else. So it's not run by myself, but I have a company or an organization which runs that. So it's not under my control. It's under control of somebody else. And they provide the service to me, so I can use it. And that applies to Google, Facebook, and so on. That applies also also to us as organizations. We run, for example, infrastructure for our projects, for code, for mailing lists, whatever, that stuff. And we have to make sure, how can we make sure that this is actually free? And the tricky part with when other people run software for us is that it's not only about our own freedom anymore. It's also about the freedom of others. So when I run free software on my server to provide a service, that's great for me. Then I have all the freedoms, I have all the choice, I have control. I can change code, I can use what I want. I get the freedoms of free software. And that's what actually a lot of these companies are doing. I mean, they run free software for a reason, because it gives them the freedom to control what they are doing on their servers. So that's something which is great for me if I run the service. If I use the service, things are becoming a little bit more complicated, because then the freedom I expect might get into conflict with the freedom of the operator of the service. So if I want to change something and the operator doesn't want to change something, then who wins, or what is the mechanism to solve that? That doesn't happen if I only run it on my own computer. So once I start using services running on another computer, I get in this conflict. The same with other users. So if other users are using the same service, where's the freedom? Where's the control? So if I have a bike shed as a service, who says which change about which color goes in? I mean, the server A, the server, the user A, the user B, I don't know. I mean, there's no easy answer to solve that. So it's actually there are conflicts there which are not easily answered by our free software definition, and that makes it so complicated. The same for privacy, security, that also might be an issue. So what I would consider as a user as freedom to be able to inspect what is happening on the server, for example, that's something which might be a problem for privacy, because I might see other users' data there. So I don't want that as a user who has data there. So that's where really there's a conflict where the answer is not so easy as, okay, the server has to run free software. And that's where we are. We have the problem that actually free software is not enough when we are talking about web services, when we are talking about using services provided by other people. So there, it's not enough to run free software. We actually heard it also in Bradley's talk. I mean, if I only use it for my own purposes, and running Facebook is my own purpose, if I'm Facebook, I have no obligation to actually release any changes if I use GPL code or many other free software licenses code. I'm not distributing the software, so I don't have to give it to the people who use it. Another problem is that what is so elegant with free software, if I run it myself, I can download the source code, compile it, and I can prove that I'm actually running what I got. How can I do that with software which is running on a server? I don't know, because I can't really, I have to trust the operator of the server that they are actually running the code that they are saying they run, even if it's free software. So I have no way of enforcing that it's actually running other than inspecting the server again, and that's again going against the interests of the operator, of other users. It might be a privacy problem, a security problem. So there's no easy solution then. Free software doesn't really answer that and doesn't apply there in terms of the service user. The other thing is the value of services is often not in the software itself, but in the data and interaction. So let's say I would have the source code, all source code of Facebook. It would be all open source, and I would run it myself. That would be a pretty depressing, lonely place. I mean, I run my Facebook with me as only user. So that's not really useful. Or if, to take it the other way around, so if Facebook would give me all their data, then what then? Then I have a service I still can't run because I don't have the server infrastructure Facebook has. So that's not practical. That's again the elegant thing about free software. If I run it myself on the desktop, by definition, I can run a modified copy as well because I'm already running the original code. For server software, that just doesn't work. That doesn't apply. So this is a problem. And there are actually more problems. We have seen free software, the free software definition doesn't really help with achieving freedom for users of web services. And there are more problems than just that the software is not free. There's, for example, the problem that terms of services. You all have seen that. You have to agree on that when you start using a service. But who knows what is actually there? I mean, nobody reads that. It's complicated legal speech. It's really hard to understand. And there might be some clauses which are just buried on the 40th page. So who knows that? But even if I know the conditions, are the conditions actually fair, or are there things in there which I don't want? That's really hard to tell. I think normal users just ignore that, and there's no easy way for them how to tell what is right there. Another problem is login. So if I'm using a service, can I actually switch to another service, or do I have to give up my data then, for example? So a photo service where I can upload photos but not download photos, they lock me in, and once I start using it, I can't go away anymore. I lose control, I lose my freedom. The same question is, can I run the service myself? In theory, at least, maybe in some cases I can, but in practice, probably I can't. But I don't have the option for most services to actually do that, because a lot of business models are based on locking in the user. So that, of course, is by definition giving up a lot of freedom from me. And then the question, do I have the configuration, do I have the data, can I actually run the service? So I'm easily locked in into a service, and there's no way out, and that's affecting my freedom. Another problem, sustainability. So if I use a service and the service stops operating, and for whatever reason, the company goes bankrupt or is bought or whatever, so what happens then? Suddenly, maybe from one day to the other, the service and all my data is not available anymore, so I lose complete control about anything I had there. This can't happen with free software I run myself on the desktop, because there I already have the software, I'm running it, and if whatever happens, I can always use the latest released version of the code, and I can actually maintain it myself if I want. That doesn't work with the server where the company goes out of business. Or the other more obvious questions like privacy. Who actually has access to my data? What happens with my data? What do we do there? So privacy obviously is one of the biggest problems when running a service where a company is maintaining my data. And that goes beyond just data itself, but also metadata. So metadata, the data about the data, so who is actually looking at my data, for example, who knows whose data I'm looking at, who owns this information, who owns the logs. So what is there? I mean, that's it becomes tricky, because if I'm looking at the data of somebody else, I'm looking at the Facebook profile of somebody else, then Facebook has the information that I have looked at it, but I don't have the information if somebody else is looking at my profile. And so who owns this data? I mean, it's kind of my data, but not only my data, but also the data of another user. So that's a difficult question to answer. I mean, what is the right approach there? And a little bit related to that, something I call triple payment. So LinkedIn, for example, has this nice feature that you can pay for seeing who has looked at your profile. So when you use LinkedIn, you pay once by providing your data there. So it's a free service, but you upload your data. That's very valuable. So that's the first source of income for LinkedIn. The second is you pay with your metadata, like people are looking at your profile, so that's metadata which belongs to you, at least partially. And then if you want to see that, you have to give them money so they provide you the information. So you pay three times for actually using the service. So the question again is, who actually owns which data, and who is actually profiting from that? Another problem is security. Am I safe when I'm using a service? Depending on the service, that might be more or less of an issue. Is my data safe? Depending on how sensitive the data is I put on a service, this might be a very difficult question. And of course, it's also a problem for free software run on my desktop, but if I run it on a shared service, or I use it run by others on a shared service, these questions are much more, it's much more difficult to tell what is actually happening there. So I can't inspect the software and make sure that nobody is spying on me, for example. And the last problem, hackability. So hackability in the good sense of hacking. How do I fix a bug on a service? How do I add a feature? I can do that if I run my program locally. I can easily fix the color of the bike shed. On a shared service, that's usually not possible. Also the question, how do I help others? I can give free software to other users so they can use it as well. I can give them my modifications as well. With a service, there's nothing really to give away. So that question doesn't really apply there, but still, it's an important question, because a lot of the power of the free software movement is based on sharing and sharing the code and actually working together as a community, and not just having one company controlling one application. So what are the solutions to that? And I have to say, I don't have a solution, but I want you to see what is there. There are a couple of attempts, and this is kind of a journey, and there's no concluding answer. I will try at the end to give you a little bit of a hint where an answer could be, but let's first go through some of the options people have proposed how to solve these problems. So the first one is very easy: don't use web services. So that's, then I can stop here and the talk is over. I would suppose that most of you, and for sure most people outside of this room, won't buy into that. I mean, there is a reason why people use services, because they provide a useful service. And there are certainly scenarios, and I respect that, if people don't want to use services, and they don't use all the stuff, and they, use an email gateway to browse the web, that's perfectly fine. I think there are good reasons for that, but it's not a practical solution. So I would like to look for a practical solution. So, and a couple of the practical solutions which have been proposed. So, one is a modification of the GPL, the Affero General Public License. So, this actually fixes the loophole we have in the GPL, that if you don't distribute your software, you don't have to give away the changes you did to the software. So, Affero fixes that. So, if you release your software under that license, you can be sure that if a service provider is actually running your software and modifying it, he has to give away the changes as well. A different question is, how do you check that this is actually the case? I mean, that's more tricky. As I said before, you can't just download the software, compile the sources yourself, and be sure. You have to trust the service provider. Another one, and that's pretty old, is the Franklin Street Statement on Freedom and Network Services. So that's, I think, a decade old or something. And this was an attempt to, I think it was a conversation within the FSF context, and they wanted to come up with something similar to the free software freedoms, and they struggled with that. And basically what it says is, okay, the software running on the server has to be free software, and the data has to be free data. That's a pretty simple answer, but doesn't solve some of the more tricky questions, like the metadata or the privacy and so on. So, but as a reference, that's interesting. As one of the most recent concrete things from the FSF is the GNU Ethical Repository Criteria. So this is really setting up criteria what a specific service to host GNU software has to meet in terms of criteria. And this is, I think, interesting as one way to define that. On the other hand, it's not that interesting because it's very specific to this purpose. So you can't just translate that in general, because it says, for example, that you have to prefer GNU software and so on, and that's for GNU, of course, obvious, and for many other people as well, but not for everybody. Another very interesting initiative is the Terms of Service Didn't Read website. So what they try to do is they try to solve the problem of this terms of use nobody understands, and to condense that into simple icons which says, okay, these are the things which the terms of use actually say, and these are good or bad, so you can actually have an informed decision. Unfortunately, the project is not very active anymore, so it's kind of stalled. Another attempt coming from the data side is the User Data Manifesto. So this is an initiative started a few years ago in the context of OwnCloud, and they define three basically criteria which are relevant there. Control over user data access, so that you actually have control about the data you upload to a service. Also the knowledge how data is stored, so you can actually judge what is happening. This is providing transparency, so you can judge for yourself if you trust the service provider. And the freedom to choose a platform, and that's an important one, because that actually gives you the freedom to choose yourself what is happening there, and if you're not happy with the platform you're using anymore, you can move to something else. So this is, I think, a very essential part of that. And as kind of another take on that, this is one blog entry by Aaron Seigel, where he wrote about what he called freedom services, also as an attempt to define criteria for that. And he came up with four things. So specification, implementation, that's two things which make sure that you can actually replicate the web service. So you have a specification, how to talk to it, and an implementation, a kind of reference implementation, so you could run it yourself. There's privacy you have to. The service has to guarantee privacy, and data integrity. That's that you can actually access your data, you have control about your data. So that's also, I think, quite important criteria. And then if you go on, so that's the small print, you don't have to read that. This is one guideline by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which basically defines what web service respecting privacy has to do. And the GNU Ethical Repository Standard, for example, references this as well. For the best rating you can get, if you adhere to that, then you're fine. And this is interesting because it's specifically targeted at the US. In Europe, there are actually laws which are pretty similar to that. And that's another thing which is an attempt to solve that from a completely different direction. So there are some, don't want to go into detail here, but especially in Germany, there are quite strong laws about privacy, which make sure that as a service provider, you really have to treat the privacy of the data in a correct way. So lots of attempts, there are probably more, but that's what I could find and what I find interesting. But the question still is, does this address everything? And is that something useful we can work with? And I think we can't. So the question is, can we do better? Can we actually solve all the problems? The terms of service, the lock-in, the sustainability, the privacy, metadata, triple payment, security, hackability. So can we come up with one definition which solves all of that? And such a definition has some constraints. So it has to keep the freedoms of users of web services. That's the goal, what we want to achieve. Like we achieved on the desktop or for our own client-side computing, we have the freedom with the free software definition. But we also have to respect the freedoms of the operators and the other users of the service. And so this, I think, leads to a way where we have to contract on the surface of the service. So it's not about what the service is and the content. It's not about distributing software. It's about what is the interaction. And to do that, I think a license is not the right way. I think what we need to do there is we have to come up with something like a certification, so that we could have a way how service providers could be certified as something which is respecting our privacy, and there would be a way how to check that, and not only through the license. And as criteria, and I will only touch the surface here, because that's something where I think we actually should have a discussion, and I would also like to get your feedback how to do that, but I will briefly go through the criteria and then finish up. So I think the most important thing is, and we already heard that, is something like substitutability. I don't know if that even is a word, but I think that's the most important part, that I can actually substitute a service I use by something else I like better, which is freer, which respects my freedom, and that I have the APIs to get my data, that I have the ownership of the data, that I have access to everything, that I also have something which guarantees that the service doesn't go away from one day to another. So that's something which I think is essential and which is basically the equivalent to having the source for software I compile myself. And then in addition to that, it's important that there's transparency about what are the conditions, that privacy is respected and defined, that security is respected and defined, so I can actually judge that. And as a last thing, and I think that's also very important, that there must be a fair model of operation. So these things like I pay three times for the same thing, and I don't get rights, the server operator gets and other users gets, that's something which is not fair. So if I have to pay for getting my own data back, that's not a fair model. So I think for that, there needs to be also a definition of how can a business model actually look like and what are the limitations. And this is a little bit to like, I mean, free software takes away kind of the license income from a company releasing stuff under free software, but there are other ways how to do that. And that's I think, a strength of the model. And something, a similar fair model has to be part of this definition. And this leads me to the conclusion, basically, that what I think we need is something like a definition for fair web services. So what is fair? What is kind of the contract? What is kind of the certification? What actually makes up a fair web service? So that if I use it, I'm treated fairly, the server operator is treated fairly, I have criteria when I run a service to actually do that in a way which is compatible with keeping users' freedom. And we need a way how to really define that. And I think it's not about licenses, about enforcing things, or about boycotting companies which make money, but it's about finding an agreement which respects our freedom. And that's actually the discussion I would like to have, and that's why I'm giving the presentation, to elicitate some feedback from you. And I would like to hear about that. So do you see more problems? Do you see better descriptions for the problems I had here? What other solutions are there? So I only touched a few things. Are there already better things I'm not aware of? And what do you think about the criteria? I mean, is this complete, or do you need additional criteria? How can we formulate that in a way to actually make it useful? So if you have feedback for me, I would be really, really happy to start the discussion to hear about that. Send me an email or talk to me. I'm here today and tomorrow, so I would really love to have the discussion. And that's the end of my talk. Are there questions?
So the break already started. My suggestion would be you have one to desperately go for the break, just go for the break, and the rest and just have a question.
I would go with the microphone up there. There was a question.
You also have a runner.
Oh, I can do a running.
Okay. So, like, just a thought about substitutability. I suppose one question is, does that imply that the web services that you have in mind are generic, in the sense that, you know, like, you might have, like, a photo archiving website, which we're fairly familiar with the concept of, but what happens when you have more unique web services, which it might be one of a kind? And I suppose that leads me on to another question, which is actually about kind of harnessing freedom. Like, I tend to feel a little bit sad when I encounter projects that are basically kind of reproducing proprietary web services with free software. I don't think it does free software much good in terms of, like, the brand, I suppose. Like, it would be more exciting and more interesting to be thinking about how we can make unique web services that actually utilize these freedoms as a part of their value proposition, I suppose, or their basic mode of operation, rather than just trying to kind of reproduce the services that already exist as free software.
Yeah, that's sad if we are down to just replicating something which is already there just because it's not completely free software. Yeah. I completely agree with that. And I think one key answer to that also is if there are APIs and if there are integration points so that you can actually enhance services, that you can combine services. You don't have to copy GitHub to provide the same service, but maybe you could do it more and more in small components. So if GitHub would be kind of a fair web service, which would make sure that you have access to everything, you own everything you need, then you wouldn't need to move away from it. But you could enhance it by just implementing one feature which are missing there in a way which uses its API to do it in a better way. So you wouldn't have to completely copy the thing. I mean, that's just one thought in this direction. But yeah. More questions? Or ideas?
You have been talking about web services, but others here know more about the temporary shutdown of GNOME Maps. What do you think about that? If you know what I mean, GNOME Maps uses software as a service substitute, some say. Is this okay? What ways are there to improve this? Should this be changed? Can this be changed? What do you think?
So I'm not familiar with GNOME Maps, so I can't really comment on that. But one thing I think is important that I mentioned the big companies who are running services, but in the end I think it applies to everybody, also individuals, or it applies also to organizations or free software projects. And I think in many cases it's really the lack of clear criteria how you have to run a service to make it free in the sense of free software. And I think we are lacking a definition there. And that's probably the cause for a lot of discussions and trouble and conflicts, which are, from my point of view, not really necessary. I think we can solve that if we really try to come up with a definition of what it actually means, and we can agree on that, and then we can settle the discussion once and for all. And say, like with free software, I mean, if it adheres to the free software definition, we know it's okay to use it on our desktop, and we do it, and we include it in our distribution and everything. But for services, we don't have that. So we always are debating corner cases and different interpretations and so on. So if you would have a good definition of what it means to be respecting the user's freedom, I mean, then we would have criteria how to solve these kind of issues.
I could comment briefly on the GNOME Maps situation. Basically, for background, it was this application that then accesses online resources from a provider that was able to. They gave away the access to their map data for free, which was using like an open format, but like we needed somewhere to host it, right? And MapQuest was able to, yeah, you can do this for free. And then at some point they said like, for everyone, not only for the Maps project, they were like, well, it's a lot of data traffic, so we don't feel like hosting it for free anymore. And I guess that's like a big hurdle with web services in general, that someone needs to pay for the bandwidth. If you run things on your laptop, then obviously you pay for that processing power and everything. But it's trickier when someone else is paying for that hardware.
Yeah, I think that's one of the big problems there, that, I mean, running so. Distributing free software is more or less for free and it scales perfectly, but running services doesn't scale unless you have the money to pay for the resources there. So this is really a problem which is not easy to solve, and that's also why I'm saying that I think we need some definition of what a fair model to run something like that is. So it's okay to pay for running a service. It's to pay for the costs, but you should pay for that in a fair way, so that you pay for costs but not for artificial legally introduced constraints on your own data. That's something which is not fair. Okay, anything else? Are we done? Do you want to have the break? So let's conclude here. Thank you.